The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCPQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Hello out there. It is the Portfolio Doctors radio show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Welcome to a rainy weekend. How about that?
Yeah, no good.
This is San Diego, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to rain on the week, not the weekends.
This is our winter. We get 65 degrees, a little bit of wetness. Probably going to cause havoc on the road, so be careful out there. We're here again. Main reason we're here, we sat around a few years ago and had some conversations about the fact that most of the information that gets distributed in any kind of channel of media, whether it's newspapers, magazines, TV, internet, always has some type of hidden agenda behind it. And that is leading to a lot of confused decision-making, in my view. I think, Steve, you share that.
Right.
And so we decided we'd like to try to share with people as much as we can the best way to process the information that's out there and just understand who it's coming from or why they're getting that information out there and what that agenda may be, so that you can understand whether or not what they're talking about makes sense for you, whether it's related to insurance, an investment, a type of investment, home purchases, mortgages. It covers the full gamut of your financial decisions, your financial life, and helping you make the good decisions, the better decisions for what's important to you, because ultimately we realize the only person that's going to look out for you in the best manner is yourself, because you know yourself better than anyone else.
Yeah.
Anything
that's
to
pretty
add
much
there?
It. Well, other than how everything fits together. So it's also about trying to determine if you're going to go for, let's say, more life insurance, or you're going to add a new position to your stock portfolio or a new ETF or whatever it might be. How does that fit within your personal goals, and how does it fit within the rest of the portfolio in terms of providing you additional benefit and or protection against other market moves?
Wow, I thought I was the guy with the financial planning background. No, that's exactly right. That's a big part. You need to be able to understand that everything you do impacts everything else you're already doing.
Right.
And you need to make sure that all of those things are functioning together and all working towards those same goals that you outline as what's most important to you.
It sounds really easy, but it's actually incredibly difficult.
Yes. There are a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And that's why each show we have almost always an entirely different topic that we think is only going to be a few minutes. It takes up an entire show because there are a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of information out there.
Well, and everything keeps changing.
Yes.
You know, particularly in the global economic environment. I mean, things just change day in, day out, mainly because not only is our businesses growing and you've got inventions and innovations and, you know, high-tech things are happening, but also then you've got central bankers around the world tinkering at stuff and, you know, interest rates changing.
They're just following our lead.
Yeah, exactly.
It's working over there. Let's do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, everything's changing all the time, not to mention the fact that you as an individual are getting older. Your life, you know, outlook changes as you grow older. Your family gets older. Kids move out. I mean, all of this stuff, everything's always changing. And so that's another wrinkle or fly in the ointment, as they say.
Yes, absolutely. Well, with that in mind, we're going to have some fun today. Normally, Steve and I will sit down sometime during the week and kind of map out different topics that we want to touch on. We've both been a little bit busy this week, so we didn't get a chance to do too much of that. We talked very briefly, so this is going to be our surprise show where I'm going to put some ideas out on the table and we're going to see what Steve has to say.
Yeah, well, maybe you have something as well to add.
Maybe. I'm just going to put the idea on the table and let you talk today. How's that?
All right, here we go. Lucky I had a cup of coffee.
You had a bunch of coffee before?
Yeah.
Good. That's when you're at your finest.
Absolutely.
I guess we should cover very briefly. I've been in this industry since 1995. You've been a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
So between us, we have about 50 years of experience in the financial markets and financial world. So we feel that does give us some qualifications to be able to put some information out there that can help you make some smart decisions.
Yeah, and I mean, don't forget the all of the credentials that we have as well.
Oh, yes.
You're a financial planner,
yes,
right?
CFP, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm a Chartered Financial Analyst, CFA, yes. And a Management Accountant and an Insolvency and Restructuring Advisor.
You have way more titles after yourself than I do.
I've done a bit of this and that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, first thing I want to throw out here, Steve, are you ready?
Yes.
Because this will fall into your realm pretty well.
Okay.
We've got a couple things happening globally. The economy is showing signs of life. It's actually finally showing some realistic information. It's coming out that's saying things are actually looking better.
Well, the good news is it's actually reaching the lower tier.
Yeah.
Of individuals. So people that were the part-timers, the lower income families. They're finally starting to see a little bit of the benefit that the high net worth people have been feeling for basically the last decade.
Yeah.
So that's the real encouraging thing to me. But yes, it does look like the economy is on a much stronger footing than it has been for a while.
Right. And that's encouraging. There's some things we can possibly get into and talk about related to that.
Yep. But
market indexes.
Yes.
All-time highs. It's here we go again.
Not quite all.
Well, right, and that's the first thing I want to touch on. We've got the NASDAQ approaching 5,000 for the first time since
2000.
It was March 10th, 2000.
Yeah.
The NASDAQ closed at its all-time high of 5,048.64.
Man, I remember those days. Those were fun days.
Right. That's why I want to bring this up. I know you were having fun back then.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about printing money, man. That was...
Well, every day it would go up 300-500 points.
I remember stocks of mine were moving like $20, $30 a share every single
day.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at one point I was making over $100,000 a week. That's just insane.
I know of many cases of people that don't have your background, did not know what the heck they were doing, that were making hundreds of thousands of dollars per day with regularity.
Yeah, I know.
Because
it's crazy.
Different stocks just jumping every single day. Anything related to technology.
Hard. I mean, Cisco and Intel and Microsoft and...
It was literally anything that was technology related at all. It didn't matter what you knew about them. You could just buy it and know within a week or two you could have a boatload more money.
Yeah, I put $10,000 into a stock and it turned into $1,000,000.
That's not bad.
Said, good luck with that today.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe you could get lucky, but it doesn't look like there's anything out there. But,
well, Alibaba was the big one, right?
But it didn't do that.
It hasn't moved, really.
Yeah,
there's a couple of that have moved. We have had a few IPOs this year that have gone a little bit.
I think GoPro.
GoPro went quite well. Did it right. Yep.
But the main reason I brought up the NASDAQ is to touch on something we talk about more frequently, and we can probably get into that in more detail after the break. But another index, the Nikkei?
Yeah, the Japanese market.
Has hit a recent high of 18,785.79.
Yep.
However, its all-time high was 1989, 38,915.87.
Yes, it's only 20,000 points shy of its high.
Yes. That's the main thing I want to discuss when we come back is the differences in the time frames and how that could impact some portfolios. So stick around. When we come back, we'll discuss the impacts of both of those indexes and how that relates to individual investing. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ, The Answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
Well, we left off talking about the NASDAQ and the Nikkei.
Yeah.
And the reason I brought those up, and I wanted to throw this out there for you, I know it's something we've talked about before, and it really emphasizes the impact of a big negative return, and just negative returns in general, and how much more important that is than capturing the great years and capturing 100% of the great years. You can capture just a fraction of the great years if you don't lose money, and I guarantee you'll be much better off than the person that's capturing 100% of the up years and 100% of the down years.
Right.
It's been proven over and over and over again. The biggest key to making money, Warren Buffett, one of his principles, the best way to make money is to not lose money.
Right.
And this really emphasizes it because I honestly feel that people should feel pretty lucky right now that we're invested in the S&P 500 and the Dow. If they kept their money invested, that they've gotten back to even and have moved forward in such a short period of time.
Agreed.
Because when that happened, I was looking, calculating it out. Your normal expected returns, if you look at historically, what, 8%?
Yep, yeah.
So what is that?
8 to 10, yep.
Right, so that's 9 years before your money doubles, which essentially you had to have happen because of 2008.
Right.
So we're only 5-6 years into the...
Well, yeah, but I mean, just don't forget that... It's well over.
Right. It got back to even about 2 years ago, or at least a year and a half ago.
Right.
So that we're only looking at 3.5 to 4 years max.
Yeah,
that's an incredible turnaround.
Yeah, that was it's nuts.
And so I think people should feel quite lucky and appreciate that, but at the same time, you should keep fresh in your mind 2008, because look at the NASDAQ. Its all-time high of 5,048 was March 10th of 2000. We're now coming into March. It hasn't even touched 5,000 again.
It's so, pretty blasted close.
Oh, it is very close.
It's 4,989 or something.
Right. It went down 20 points or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, but it was right on the doorstep of 5,000.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see it hit that in the next week or 2 weeks or sometime soon.
Yep.
Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But this is just showing that that's 15 years. So if there were people that were just invested in the NASDAQ and said, oh, I'm just going to hold on to this, it'll come back, it'll be fine. That's true, but it's 15 years now and you still haven't gotten back to where you were.
Well, that's number one. And number two, just on the NASDAQ, which is a great example, actually, the stocks, and I don't know this, the answer to this, to be honest, but the stocks that were part of the NASDAQ back in 2000, I wonder what percentage of them are even in existence
right,
today,
exists, not,
let alone
let
part
alone
of the
just
NASDAQ,
not part of the
which
index.
Just shows you that the index, I mean, they just toss bad stocks out and
right.
just add new ones, which has an upside bias to every index, because if you're not holding on to the ones that go to zero in the index,
mm-hmm.
you're dropping them and bringing on new blood, right? That can get you back to zero faster than most portfolios that held on to like WorldCom and that went to zero.
Right.
And a number of others that they actually earned went from 100 to nothing. It'll take even longer to get back to whole
right.
than the underlying index.
Right.
And
so
people need to understand that.
Right. So that would say if you're owning your own individual basket of stocks,
yeah.
whereas it just using a simple ETF, the QQQ, for example,
yeah.
that tracks the NASDAQ. If you had all your money in the QQQ back in 2000.
Or those stocks, your own basket of stocks, and didn't change them, you'd
right.
be way behind.
But even with the QQQ, you're not back to even.
Right. No.
Right, correct? And
exactly.
that's not even counting the small amount of slippage that occurs in an ETF investment either, which
correct.
Adds a little bit longer time because you're not getting the exact same performance. In the Nikkei is another example. I mean, it was flying high like crazy back in 1989, 38,915.
Mm-hmm.
And this past month, it was up to 18,785. You're 20,000 points away from the all-time high.
Right.
So what does that mean for portfolios that were primarily invested in the Nikkei?
Yes, you are hurting. But then again, you know, people have made a lot of money in that market.
Oh, sure.
But it goes back to, once again, trying not necessarily to time the market, but at least getting some, you know, not having all your eggs pushed into one bucket.
Right.
I mean, I read an article today about some retirees that have pushed all of their retirement dollars into Venezuelan Petrobras bonds.
Okay.
Because they wanted to go and they wanted the security of high oil prices, and Venezuela was paying 16% yield on the money. And so they figured that the risk associated with not getting paid back was offset by the 16%. But then you had Chavez, and now you have oil down to 50 cents on the dollar from where it went. It was $100 a barrel, now it's
right.
50. And now there's talk about a default coming. So the gravy train there is suddenly looking like it might be over, and their whole retirement assets are looking pretty bad.
And that brings up another thing we've talked about a number of times is with rates so low, people are stretching what is considered to be risky and non-risky and really filtering a lot of money because
yep.
they're looking for anything that's yielding more than the 1% or 2% you can get, if you can even find that high. In a lot of investments that people typically use, like your CD investors, which historically has been a great idea for retired people.
Yeah.
You get your CDs, they pay you interest, you roll them over, and you just get this constant flow of cash.
Yep.
The problem with that is if you were getting 5% and now you're doing really well and getting 1%, that's what, 20% of what you were making?
And so that's what they call rollover risk.
Yes.
Where reinvestment or rollover risk, I mean, you get to the end of the rainbow and a lot of people think, well, I'll just get the same again. Mm-hmm. And hello, here we are. Some people were in a 10-year treasury notes 10 years ago and they were getting, you know, 6-8%. Right. And now they're going to roll over and welcome to 1.5% or 2%. Right. And that's, I mean, it's not funny because it really impacts people tremendously. I mean, it can, people struggle with retirement because of these types of things, you know?
Oh, absolutely. That is the kind of thing that really has a negative impact on what retirement looks like.
Correct.
It is tough to plan for, but it's something you need to be aware of.
Yep.
This is a possible outcome. So what is your backup plan if rates are suddenly a fraction of what you had them?
I know.
Just a couple of years ago.
Which is why, you know, then you get people getting desperate and they put all their money into Venezuelan petrol or oil bonds.
Correct.
I mean, what do you people know about Venezuelan oil bonds? I mean, some retiree sitting in New York. That's the problem.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing that I want people to use extreme caution. If you're investing in a foreign country, especially a bond type investment where you're reliant on a foreign government that you know nothing about, or maybe you know a little bit about them, but it's a foreign land. It's just like if you go to a foreign country, your rights are whatever they say they are. It's not like the U.S. where you have the full due process available to you. It is their decision. They can make their decision, and there's nothing you can do about it because you're an American citizen. It's their rules. It's the same thing when it comes to some of these investments. The government just changes the rules, and what are you going to do about it? There's nothing you can do. Now, all of a sudden, your money's just gone.
Well, worse than that is sometimes you're exposed to currency risks as well in those types of trades, and then you can really lose your shorts. But, I mean, just to go back to our NASDAQ example, so, yeah, and to give you an example of stocks, take Bank of America, for example. Okay, so all the indices, basically, let's just say for argument's sake, all the indices are back to their all-time highs, right? So everyone's supposedly in the money. Well, Bank of America or Wells Fargo or these types of companies, they're relatively widely held. Well, Bank of America was about $60 a share, as far as I can remember, back in its prime, and it's not even back to 20 yet. I mean, am I right?
Yeah, it's 1581 is where it closed.
And what was its high?
I'm looking. It was over 50.
Yeah, I thought it was close to 60.
Looks like back in 2006, it was 50, right around 55.
Okay, 55. 55. So look at that. There's a case of 55 to its low was about, what was it, $4 or $5 a share?
Yeah, 2008, all the banks were single digits.
And they've only recovered back to 15. Okay, so from 55 to 5 to 15. Well, from 5 to 15, you've had a nice run. But it's not, that's sort of like a Nikkei graph where it's nowhere near to back to whole. So then you have to start wondering what's driving these indices back to all-time highs. And what you also need to understand is to start now. The reason I bring this up is because if you're comparing your personal portfolio to these indices, ultimately these are just big sales pitch topics.
Right.
An index is nothing more than a sales pitch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean your portfolio should be doing this well. It doesn't mean that the actual portfolio itself, when they originally invented it, is done that well, because you take the Dow Jones as an example, it's only 30 stocks, and what are there, two left in there from the original days when they put the first 30 stocks together? Mm-hmm. So it's manipulated. The whole index is manipulated. So to compare yourself and your returns to an index, it's sort of ludicrous.
Right. You're adding unnecessary stress, risk. You name it.
It's not getting you to your goal.
Right.
It's doing nothing.
I have a great example. I met with someone a couple of weeks ago who is very well positioned. They have close to $15 million, so they're doing quite
nice.
Well. And they have two advisors. One is conservative. The other one is investing in the stock market for this person.
Okay.
This is a person that doesn't spend much money at all, lives very modestly. Mm-hmm. You would not have a clue this person has any money. And that stock guy returned 28% for the year 2 years ago.
Okay.
Which sounds great, but my first question was, why are you taking that much risk?
Right.
And they didn't understand the question. They didn't understand the fact that if they were able to get 28%, that means they could lose 20 or 30 or 40%, mm-hmm. which suddenly is a much bigger impact than earning an extra 28% when you've already got $15 million.
Right.
It's unnecessary. And
I don't know. It depends if you want that private jet or not.
This is someone that lives very modestly and is never changing their life. So.
I know.
We can talk more on that when we come back. I've also got some fun little bullet points here that I'm going to throw at Steve and see if he's got any comments that I got from the Wall Street Journal from about a week ago. So stick around. We'll be right back. It's the Portfolio Doctors.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
AM 1170 The Answer and AM 1170 TheAnswer.com.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ The Answer. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
That mic's getting away from you.
Yeah, it was. It was running behind. Get back here.
Well, I think we've kind of beat this up. We talk about that pretty frequently, that the impact of a loss is much greater on your portfolio and your financial future than the impact of a real good positive year. Unless we're talking about a private equity investment where you get 10 times or more return, that's something that's definitely
has a much
bigger.
Well, that's a different model impact. Because the private equity and market, if out of 10 investments, you're expecting maybe, if you do a really good job, three to four of them to work out really well. Yeah, normally it's like one or two.
One or two. I saw an interview with one of the guys from the Shark Tank, and he brought that up and talked about it. He said, because the person interviewing didn't understand how or what is going on with the Shark Tank other than, oh, they're helping some company make a lot of money. And he said, you have to understand the model is for every 10 private equity investments, you hope that two of them are wildly successful.
Right.
And that's kind of the model. He said, then another four to six just kind of plod along.
Right.
They don't make tons of money, but they don't necessarily lose. So you can usually get your money back out of those.
Small rate of return, yeah.
Where at least two, you know, right off the top, are going to zero. You're going to lose 100% of your investment. So, and wildly successful means a 10-time return or more, typically, on these private equity. So that participating in an upside on something like that, yes, that's much more impactful. But I'm just talking in your normal, everyday portfolio of stocks, bonds, those types of things that are more commonly discussed and that you see much more media about.
But I think the thing to also realize, just while we're on the private equity space, and we don't dwell a lot on private equity, but something to think about, if you do decide your next door neighbor's idea is the best thing since sliced bread and you want to actually invest some money in there, I think if you're going to start allocating something into private equity, you need to either allocate into 5 to 10 of them to give yourself a decent shot, rather than all in on one, and then be very surprised when it goes to zero.
Right.
How could that possibly happen to me? I knew Fred next door. And believe you me, it's got nothing to do with probably Fred's idea or his expertise or how hard he works at trying to get the thing going. Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, that you always hear, there's millions of amazing ideas that can be truly beneficial in many ways that just never get off the ground.
Well, you think about, let's just take the music industry. Okay, back in my day, this is before you were born, Jim.
Yeah.
We used to have records on vinyl records.
I still have some in the
closet. No, but that's where I'm going. So vinyl records were the things, right? And then that was sort of outcast by tapes. And,
right. And cassette tapes and eight tracks.
Yeah, eight track first.
Do you have any of those?
Yeah.
And I don't.
Then we got cassette tapes, and then we got CDs, which was like a major leap forward. Mm-hmm. And now it's all digital.
Right.
But as you've mentioned, there's a sort of this resurgence for vinyl now. You know, I mean, DJs are scratching them as they play their music and stuff. And, you know, people actually want to see the good old-fashioned cover. And I was just reading an article the other day. One of these original vinyl companies, obviously they turned their attention elsewhere to survive. But they didn't throw away their vinyl record manufacturing equipment. They just stored it because out of sentimental reasons.
Sure.
Well, now they've got like a six-month backlog because they're about the only guys out there making it. They're somewhere in Czechoslovakia or somewhere. And so you just never know. And that's the point. The reason I bring this up is in private equity, your timing might just be slightly off.
Right.
You might have thrown that vinyl equipment stuff out and be focusing on something else, and that gets outdated and vinyl's back in. So,
well, an example right along with what you're talking about. I remember when CDs were out first.
Yeah.
And then all the talk was about DAT, digital audio tapes, that was going to wipe out the CD world. And it was supposedly a better technology than CDs.
Sure it is.
Just like the whole VHS Betamax.
Yeah.
The Beta was a much better product, but it never took hold because VHS just got out there first and did a better job of getting it into every household.
No one ever knew how to program those things. But
flash, yeah, flash, yeah, flash. Yeah. 12, but, 12, 12.
Exactly. Why was there always a power failure? But so it just shows you, I mean, if you're going to do something, and I think that personally private equity is one of my main investments because of that massive upside and because it sort of is counteractive to market downswings. Oftentimes during poor markets, you can do really well in private equity.
Right. It's not nearly as impacted by events that are causing the stock market to drop.
And in fact, they've done studies that some of the biggest wealth transfers occur during market downturns because some of the tried and tested companies go out of business, they can't get financing, or they're over-leveraged or whatever it might be, and it creates a massive opportunity for some small business to step in and steal them their lunch.
Okay.
So that's why I mean, I just love private equity for the upside in that. But when you're going in there, if you're going to allocate something to private equity, make certain you spread it around amongst a number of investors.
It's the same concept of you're not going to just run out and buy one stock.
No.
Probably. Maybe you will, but it doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, because that's when you're at the greatest risk. If that company goes to zero, you're now out of money.
Correct.
You want the diversity. You want diversification in that portfolio.
Yes, so I would say if you're going to do it, say you put aside 100 grand, you'd probably want five allocations of 20 grand or 10 of 10 grand if you can get them. But, you know, stuff that's, you need to think about these types of things, because that is a good allocation, I think.
Yes. Well, let's get to this, because there's some fun things on here that touch on things we've mentioned in the past, touch on different specific points. First one here, it's Wall Street Journal. Everything you need to know about personal finance in 833 words.
I wish I knew that before I wrote the CFA, because that would have saved me about 400 million words.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything I need to know. Wow.
Well, with this, we're not obviously going to cover all 833 words, but we're going to pick out some of the key ones. One of the biggest ones, and we kind of mentioned it to start each show, one of the reasons we're here is ignore economic and financial forecasts.
Except mine.
And the very next one after it, though, says ignore expert stock picks. So we can cover both of those together, except yours. But again, it almost all this information is being put out typically by someone who is in a position to gain by you following what their projections and forecasts are. I don't think I've ever seen a major investment bank come out and say, oh, we think this is going to be a negative year in the stock market.
No. Their whole thing is to sell stocks.
Right.
So they say it's going to go down. No one's going to buy the stock. So there's no way.
Right. And they never will. And that's why I'm mentioning this, is you need to be aware that they are in a position to gain significantly. If you believe, oh, there's 10% or 20% is what they're expecting from the index of whichever index they're big on for that year.
Well, it's the same thing with the Federal Reserve. They claim to have everything under control, you know, and then
they do. Everything's going up.
Yeah, exactly right.
It's all due to their actions.
Yeah.
Well, but on the flip side of that, the ignore expert stock picks, we've talked about this in the past. In 2013, the market was up, what, 38%?
Yeah.
Is that the right number?
Something like that. It was a lot.
And at the beginning of the year,
up 12.
Actually, at the end of the year, they went back and looked, and they gathered up every expert that they could find, all their top 10 stock picks, and came up with a bucket of the top 10 summarized of all the ones that were recommended as absolute must-buy. If you don't have it, go out and get it today because you're going to miss the boat.
Mm-hmm.
They ticked those 10. And then on the other side of it, they went and got the top 10 of, if you have this, you need to sell it, stay away, run as fast as you can, this is going to zero kind of threat.
Right.
And compared to see how those two groups of 10 did versus each other.
Yeah.
What do you think the outcome was?
Well, I know because you told me, so I can't really guess.
Okay. It actually didn't surprise me, because there are investing theories around this. But the top 10 must-owns did well. They were up 40% for the year, which sounds great. The top or the bottom 10 of get out of here, run away as fast as you can, were up 60% for the same year. So, yes, they were kind of right. It wasn't bad, but it was a year that wasn't difficult to do well.
Yeah.
But they were wrong by 50%.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that dogs of Dow theory. Buy the worst performing 10 stocks in the Dow.
But this is even, I think, more magnified, because this isn't looking back on the history of what happened last year. It was literally get away. We don't know if it was a top performer, bottom performer. This is just companies that all the experts said, these are bad companies. You must stay away from these companies. And clearly, they're not able to look at the financial statements and determine what the facts are, or who knows what their reasoning. But that was pretty eye-opening again, even though I knew that they're wrong and I tend to not listen to anything
but
they say anyway.
No one ever really knows everything, even if you have the financial statements. The only real person that knows are maybe the chairman or the board or the CEO.
Sure.
I mean, I remember doing some financial consulting a long time ago, and I was privy to a stock, right? We were doing their financial consulting, and I had their numbers before we were announcing them, mm-hmm. one of my first times ever. And I thought, wow, this is a great buy because the stock was going to be so undervalued, right? And they announced their earnings, and the stock lost 30% because because the CEO came out and handed in his resignation, which was a piece of information I did not know.
Right.
So the numbers were great, but the CEO resigned and undermined everything that I knew, as it were, you know?
Got it.
Fortunately, I didn't trade on the inside information because
you're an ethical person, that's why.
Would have lost big.
Well, stick around. We'll be back in just a minute and cover some more of these interesting facts that you need to know for personal finance. You're listening to Portfolio Doctors, KCBQ, The Answer.
Saying, "I don't know," is no longer acceptable. This is AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Discover Bookkeeping Made Easy, your source for bookkeeping and accounting solutions. Get the tools you need to succeed. Bookkeeping Made Easy gives clients personal attention with insightful advice for your expenses, invoices, payables, inventory control, reconciliations, financial statements, and tax preparation. Call now for your free initial consultation, 858-822-9239. Energy, expertise, close personal attention. Bookkeeping Made Easy, 858-822-9239.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170, The Answer. Everywhere you go on iHeartRadio.
All right, welcome back. Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready. You know what? I've managed to deflect you for three segments so
That's
far
right.
without any tough questions.
We're bringing
my coffee's wearing off, though.
Now I've got you. Okay, the next one's something very, very simple, and this is the list from the Wall Street Journal. Everything you need to know about personal finance in 833 words. Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, some of the most successful investors of all time. That's what they do. I mean, it's not necessarily even simple per se. It's simple in terms of what you understand.
Correct.
So if you're a complete wizard at the stocks and bonds and trading and, you know, private equity and all these things, you know, go big. It might be simple
right,
to you.
Right, that is simple.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, but, you know, if you don't know anything, then at least if you're going to invest, make sure it's a business you understand. You know, don't go and invest in something you have no clue whether it's going to work or not.
I mean, I hate to continue to keep pointing my finger at this guy, but Warren Buffett, that's one of his biggest philosophies is keep it simple. I have never, his direct quote is, I have never invested in a company I don't understand.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's something that you or I understand.
Right.
Because he definitely has a unique financial mind.
Yeah.
But most of his investments, most people have a pretty good idea. It's insurance companies, Coca-Cola, Dairy Queen.
To be honest, most people have they think they know insurance. They have no clue about insurance. Right.
But people know what insurance is. So it's not...
Yeah.
It's not as confusing as some option strategy, how he's getting his returns.
Yep. Right.
It's pretty straightforward. He's investing in insurance companies.
Yeah.
So pretty straightforward. And that is key. If you don't understand something, don't invest in it because you're not going to understand why it does well or why it does poorly. And you don't want to add that piece to the puzzle and really.
I have to say, back in 2008 or 2009, when everything went to pieces, there were some insurance companies who were underwriting some of this mortgage debt that, I mean, their market caps were way below their cash flows because people were factoring in that they weren't going to get paid and their cash flows are going to go to nothing. And you could almost buy these entire businesses with billions of dollars worth of assets on their books for, you know, $4-5 million at the time. You know, that potentially could have been a good time to get in.
But I'm pretty sure it would have been.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are doing well now.
Yeah.
I love this one. Buy individual stocks only as a gamble.
Yeah. Well, back to...
It really is.
I don't know. To be honest, I would say yes and no. I mean, here's another example of the exact similar thing that I was talking before. I was doing some turnaround work here in town, and there's a guy looking for some money, so I went to chat to him. Turned out the company was growing. He had pretty much fixed it. Everything was fixed. This guy was a turnaround expert. The company was fixed. It was humming on all cylinders. He just needed some more money for growth. But the stock price was trading at 80 cents a share, which gave it a market cap of $7 million. The previous year, he had made $22 million in profits. And this year, he was expecting $30 to $40 million in profits or cash flows, right? So you were getting it at a discount of basically you're getting a fifth of cash flow.
Wow.
Now, that's a situation where you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that this stock's going to go up, right? So
It should. There could be one of those unknown factors, like you mentioned in the previous example, where the CEO says, oh, by the way, I'm resigning now that we've announced these numbers.
Right.
Then that would cause it to stay where it is or drop.
Yeah, potentially, but it was already 80 cents.
Right.
So I think a lot of that was baked in, right? So to me, that is an example of not necessarily a gamble. Yeah, you're right. Something could still happen.
It still is because a stock at 80 cents is at 80 cents for a reason. There were a lot of bad things.
It had had some problems up to then. But anyway, so I bought as many as I could.
Yeah.
And worked out quite favorably.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a fun one. Never buy a lottery ticket.
Yep, I have to say I've had my fair share of lottery tickets.
Oh, it's one of those things where...
Especially when I had no money. It's funny how when I had no money, I had to have a lottery ticket to try and get ahead.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is I've seen numerous interviews of people that really honestly believe their retirement plan is when they hit the lottery.
Yowza. Is that right?
The reality, one of the best things I've ever heard when I first got into this industry, there was a guy I was working with. The office was doing that. Everyone throw in $5. It's at $100 million. Mm-hmm. We'll split it all. And someone came around, and I was sitting right next to this guy. He said, nope, I don't do that. I said, oh, come on, throw $5 in. You're going to be upset when the office hits and you don't get it. He said, it won't bother me at all. I said, what are you talking about? He said, the lottery is just a tax
right.
on people that don't understand statistics.
Right.
The reality is your chances are virtually zero.
Correct.
There is no real chance that you're going to win.
But you can't win if you don't play.
Correct. Someone has to win. I realize that. But the odds, because it's so many millions to one, the odds are virtually zero.
Has anyone even met a person that's won?
Yes.
You
and,
have?
And a strange statistical fact is if you win once, the odds go up that you'll win again.
That's the same at Vegas. If you're doing roulette and you win on a number, the odds are that it'll hit that number straight away again.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was about to take my winning bet off 22, and the guy said, don't take it off. It oftentimes it lands again. So I took off a big piece of it, and then sure enough, hit 22 again. My friend was very upset because he had stopped gambling. He'd spent his whole night gambling on 22.
I said, oh, this is the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Step right in. Here's one we also talk about. Know thyself, which is what we talk about. You know yourself better than anyone else.
Right.
So you need to make decisions based on what you want to do, not what your neighbor's doing, not what the media says you're supposed to do, what you want to do. The other one, buy high deductible home and car insurance. That's a point people don't talk about so much. By doing that, you really only need insurance when you have an accident or you have a disaster in your house.
I wonder if that applies if you've got a 16-year-old kid in your house.
Having a high deductible.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that. Maybe you want to reduce the deductible then.
You want to weigh it, but by having a higher deductible, you reduce what the premium is.
You know, I understand.
So you're saving money, but I'm just putting this out there for people to understand. If you have a lower deductible, you're going to pay a much higher premium per year.
Yeah.
So if cash flow happens to be an issue, this is one way to address that and say, we haven't had a claim, we don't anticipate a claim, it may make sense to increase what your deductible is and reduce what the premium is so you're not putting out so much money for the insurance.
Call Flo. She'll run the numbers for you.
Right.
Yeah.
And she'll sing it to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see. Is there anything else on here? Pay off credit cards.
We know that.
We talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
Plan for a long life. Even if your family history is everyone dies early, plan for a long life. If you do that and you just happen to defy the odds, you're going to be happy you did.
Well,
your family will be in a better position.
Correct.
So I think that just about does that. Well, I think we could go to the next show and cover this whole thing. But thank you very much for listening. If you would like to reach out to us, you can visit us at theportfoliodoctors.com or email either of us, steve@theportfoliodoctors.com or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. We will talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego. AM 1170, The Answer.